We're moving on to the offenders portion. I believe we have four offenders scheduled here today. Deputy Chief.
Chairman, I have some information here that needs to be entered into the record of Mr. Decatur's case today. It was omitted during the case preparation earlier.
Well, then let's jump out of order here. Is Mr. Jerry L. Decatur Jr. present and in the room?
Yes.
Represented by counsel, please come forward. One second, we got a bit of a process here. Mr. Decatur, are you going to testify here today?
Yes.
Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God, let the record reflect that Mr. Decatur is present and has been sworn in. Deputy Chief, what you got for us?
These are certified copies of a summons that was omitted in the file.
This was omitted from the file?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And it needs to be added to the file.
Okay.
Proper records.
Thank you.
First?
Mr. Decatur goes first.
Okay.
Tice's attorney is present and do not wish to delay the counselor longer than is necessary.
Down to you, Mr. Decatur.
Ms. Iverson, what do you have here for us?
Mr. Jerry Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new conviction for Mr. Decatur. There were crab pots left in the water. And there were crab pots in the water after season again. There was fish crab pots without required cold rains, and it was improperly marked crab pot floats.
Okay, so that's the overview.
Yes.
There are several officers that are here to present.
Right.
Who's first? Austin, come on up. I have not sworn anybody who's going to testify from the Marine Police this afternoon. I'm going to swear you in here right now. Please raise your right hands. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you very much. All right, Officer Brown, what do you have first?
On Saturday, July 30th, I was on routine patrol in the Piangitang River. I observed yellow crab pots, buoys, and they had identification 4220 belonging to Mr. Jerry Decatur, standing here to my right. There were also numbers on them as well, 7995 and 97557, along with his MRC number. I contacted Maryland and the state of North Carolina, DNR, to find out if he had valid crab pot licenses in those states, and he did not. I seized these crab pots and obtained magistrate summons for him on this offense. He was found guilty in Middlesex General District Court, fined $75 for improper identification of crab pot.
Okay. The questions from the commission on this count?
No.
What's
that? Yes, I have one question,
Mr. Packer.
Yeah. So, the crab pots, were they being used?
Were they? Yes, they were. They were in the water, actively baited, actively catching crabs. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any other questions from the commission? Counselor, you have the right to cross-examine.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Philip Hatchett. I'm an attorney with Kaufman and Knowles. Officer, when you saw these, had they been marked, had there been any, the crab pots that you're talking about, or the buoys, there were 15 of them.
Yes, sir.
And you had about 50 pots that you were looking at, or markers. And had they been scratched on, you had the right number. But the old number where he bought them from in Maryland, hadn't they been scratched on?
At this time, no.
They hadn't, there
at,
were nothing.
At this time, they had not been.
Okay. No further questions.
Any other questions from the commission? Okay. Officer. Next up.
Elmore?
Yeah, of course.
January 25th, 2017, while patrolling Pyeongtaek River, located seven crab pots bearing ID number 4220, belonging to Jerry Decatur, staying to my right, in the river in the area of Doctor's Point. I obtained a magistrate summons for violation of leaving pots in the water after season, contacted Mr. Decatur regarding the same. Mr. Decatur stated he would have the pots removed that weekend. Mr. Decatur also understood to contact me if there were any problems completing getting these pots removed. February 10th, 2017, conducted another patrol of the Pyeongtaek River, same location, located the same seven pots during ID number 4220 in the water. These were the same pots that I had identified the previous month. Based on these findings, I obtained a second summons. The first charge was dismissed by the judge in Middlesex County. He was found guilty on the second count. The fine was dismissed. He had to pay court costs of $86.
Questions from the commission? Question for me. Is it true, do I remember correctly, the closure of the crab season last year, 2016, was December 20th?
Yes, sir.
So this was January 25th, so yes, they'd been in the water for more than a month.
Yes, sir.
Whoever's they were. All right. Questions from the commission? Counselor, you want to cross-examine?
Yes, please. Thank you. Officer, in the case of these seven pots, had Mr. Decatur reported that he was missing pots to the service?
That became part of the issue of the first case and why that first case was dismissed. If it came down to a semantics and language, stolen versus misplaced or missing with another officer that he had had.
My question is, had he called, had he taken the affirmative step and called and said, I'm missing some pots or they've been stolen?
There was no case record on file for that.
So you're not aware of that?
No, sir. I didn't become aware of that until after the fact, which again goes back to why the original case was dismissed.
The original case was dismissed because the testimony was, and believed by the judge, that he had called in.
I can't speak for the judge, sir. So
he dismissed?
Yeah, it was dismissed.
Well, then, for the record here, this count was indeed ended in a conviction in court. Is that not correct?
Well, there were two, if I could just clarify, there were two counts. One was dropped and dismissed. The second one, he was found guilty of these seven pods. He didn't come back within 16 days. And I'm sorry, I do have one more question. He wasn't given a fine, was he?
No, sir.
Okay. We're all clear on the facts of the matter.
And then 16 days later, he issued. So you didn't come, you know, you called me, said you're going to pick him up, and then you didn't do it. And I'm ticked off.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? There's another count, I understand?
That's the second one that the attorney was just referring to.
I got you. So that's the one that was dismissed.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Counselor, how do you want to proceed? Yeah. How do you want to proceed? Do you want to call your client?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, officer.
I mean, I'm assuming there's no other testimony from not the other officer.
There is one more?
Yes, sir, we got one more.
We do have one more. Now I get it. Thank you. Officer Smith, you've been sworn in here. What can you tell us about this case?
November 1st, 2016, I inspected.
Move up to the mic, please.
Please stand over by the mic. Yes.
November 1st, 2016, I inspected 50 crab pots in the area of the Rappahannock River near Broad Creek. They were marked with 4220. Out of those 50, six of them had no C for the crab pot designation. There were crab pots on the end of the buoys. Two of them had no markings at all. One was marked P for a peeler pot, but was actually a crab pot. And two had obstructed coal rings with the wire covering the openings of the coal rings on the pots when we pulled them up to inspect it.
Are there questions from the commission?
And these were actively fished?
Yes.
Okay. What was the disposition of this case?
He was tried and found not guilty in his absence.
Tried and found not guilty?
Yes. Tried and found guilty in his absence.
Okay. Just make sure the record's straight there, right?
You
stipulate to that, Counselor?
Yeah. We're going to play tricks. I mean, that isn't what I would use today.
You might have a better one. Any other questions from the commission? Counselor, do you have some questions?
I just want to make sure. You looked at 50 pots and you found two coal rings that weren't in conformity, correct? No other questions.
Okay. Thank you, officer.
Thank you.
Mr. Decatur, it's your turn.
You've sworn in.
Yep.
Decatur, please state your name.
Jerry Lawrence, Decatur Jr.
And you're 40 years of age.
Yes, sir.
And how long have you been a crabber?
I started my own boat on the Potomac River when I was 13, so 27 years.
And you were aware of these charges. Have you paid the fines?
Yes, sir.
And the court calls? And at any time, have you ever gotten into a tussle or been back-talked in any way, any of the officers I want to go back on the count that deals with these seven pots that were left over the winter. Did you report and explain as quickly as possible first of all, how many pots do you have?
425.
Okay. So at the end of the season, you're collecting your pots, and you don't have them all. What did you do?
Well, it wasn't always at the very end of the season. I was taking up a line of pots. I had about 50 pots in that line and got to the end of it, and I didn't have 50 pots on my boat. So I'm like, man, there's no way I'm missing all these pots. You know, and after working every day over the water, you're like, man, maybe I took them up yesterday. No. You know, as a waterman, you know where all your pots are. I don't put them in a plot or anything. I've been a waterman my whole life. I know where my pots are. It was brand new. I said, well, I got to call and report these stolen. So I, Mr. Austin Brown, I reported it to Austin Brown. I think he's in here today. I said I had, because I went across to the next point the next day, and there was another 50. It was 14 the first day and 15 the next day. 29 pots total. We made a report of it to the officer, and I have, when I went to the Middlesex court, I showed her the screenshot, you say, the pictures of the text where I did report it to the officer. Then we get a summons I get a phone call from Collimore, said, if you know where the pots are, that's great. Well, I'm missing a lot more of them. I'd like to find them all. I called a buddy of mine, Joey Majak, crabs out of Gloucester. Maybe run down there because I live 2.5 hours from Deltaville. So I mean, could you run over and try to find these pots? The man that issued me the summons was Dave Deemer in our area of the Potomac River, the Upper Potomac. I contacted him, said we could not find the pots. He said he would get it hold of the officer that issued the summons, the one that wrote the summons. It was a miscommunication along those lines. One of these pots are 50, I got about $52 or $55 a piece on a crab pot. And they're brand new, I'm not going to leave them. And I live 2.5 hours at home from where my pots are. It's not like I was leaving them overboard to the benefit of catching more crabs out of seven pots. It was, like I said, if I knew where my pots was, I mean, that's like, they're my baby. You want them to take them home and keep them home.
Okay, all right, just answer the question. So you call somebody to go get the pots.
Yes.
And he said he couldn't find them.
He could not find them, yes, sir.
All right. And then you didn't, the testimony was you didn't call back the officer to say, the guy I called me and said he couldn't find them. You didn't call him back.
I did. I contacted Dave Deemer, which is VMR inspector as well. Okay. He told me he would handle it. We'll contact Officer Collins. So But I should have
two conditions. You didn't call this officer, you called Mr. Deamer, Dave Deamer.
Yes, sir. He's the one that handed me the summons in Wildwater, Virginia.
Right. He's the one who handed you the summons. Right.
Yes.
And you paid that fine as well.
Right. No, there wasn't. They didn't.
No, that's right. There was, you paid the court costs.
Excuse me. $85 court costs.
Good catch. All right. Let's go back to the July 30 improper markings on the on your buoys. He looked at. He said he looked at 50 pots. He saw or buoys, and he saw that you had not scratched out. Well, just tell the commissioners where you got those pots.
I bought them off of Craigslist. You're right. So when I put them back on pot, we had, you know, guys working for me. And I know it's my responsibility, each one of my buoys. It's my license, my responsibility. We branded our numbers into the pot, into the buoy, I apologize. And they didn't take off the numbers off of all 200 buoys that we had bought. So since then, the day I received the ticket, I've taken my knife, my knife won't keep on the boat, and I've cut my buoys almost completely in half. And the officers, I mean, I've straightened the problem out on my buoys.
Have they, that's the question, have they been back to your boat since then?
Yes, sir.
Or, I mean, to your pots?
Yes, sir.
And so they've seen these things fixed?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you paid that court fine?
Yes.
All right.
Then the call rings, you know, we...
All right, yeah, let's just take it just a little slower. So you, you've made repairs to all of that?
Yes, sir.
To those, but you had them properly marked with your number?
Yes, sir.
C4220. Right.
One that did say that it had a P on it, but I've never owned a P on the pot license in my life. Old Potomac River numbers we had on our buoys, some of these buoys I've had for 20 years, they got CP on them. Some of these buoys is ripped, you know, chewed up, you know, had been damaged by boat traffic and everything. And before I could see where the CP was on there for Potomac River, I was, the C has come off and it was a P on there, but I don't fish or peel a pot. I don't peel a pot.
Now let's get down to the two cold rings. Yeah, two, he inspected 50. 4% of your cold rings were defective. How was it defective?
Well, where you pig ring, you call rings in on the side, you chose the wires up by your hand. A lot of guys, I'll take my needle nose pliers or my cutting pliers, I'll grab the top of the wire where we cut it in the center, and I'll wrap around the top of the call ring. If I'm crabbing them, and some guys shaking my pot, but I'm not shaking them, I've bent them on their leg, and they do get loose. We see it all the time. Or catfish gets in the pots, or turtles, everything tears up your pots. And then we keep all the stuff on the boat, so then when we see it, we try to fix it as we're working.
So you're continuously maintaining your coal rigs?
You have to continuously maintain your whole rig. You know, huh?
You brought with you today the young man who works with you, Mr. Johnson, Jonathan Johnson. You wanted him to see this.
I don't know.
And you realize they have the right to take away your license to keep you from making an occupation.
Yes, sir, I do.
What do you do with your crabs?
I take them back to our retail store in Stafford and in Franksburg, Virginia.
And is that operated by your daughter?
Yes, Haley Brooke Decatur manages my retail stuff. And she crabs out of her own boat as well now, 20 years old.
You've created a vertical monopoly. Have you ever been cited for failure to pay business license?
Yes.
Failure to pay...
Counselor, please.
What I'm showing, in fairness, I realize I'm going a little afield, but let's just be honest. The policemen out here are like football referees. They could call I grew up on this stuff. They could call a foul on just about any crabber any day. With a cold ring being bent or with a marker not being exactly right, and they don't do it. And all I was doing with this question was showing that in other governmental agencies, he has not been found. He's paid all of his taxes, withholdings, and so he's in compliance.
Well,
this is his license.
I will stipulate on behalf of the board that we go under the assumption that everybody up here in every other aspect of their life is as pristine as Mother Teresa. These are not issues that are part of our concern. Our concern are the issues and the convictions at hand before us. We don't read any prior other noncompliance with anything else to be pertinent to anything?
Then I withdraw the question. I had to explain why I thought in other tribunals, showing a consistency is important. But I withdraw that.
No problem. I mean, please continue. I mean, we want to hear from Mr. Decatur.
No. So you have complied with and been interviewed or stopped by other policemen, and they have not given you infractions or charged you with other things.
No, sir. Right. They keep their boat right there, Broad Creek, where I come out of every morning and come back in.
And you're active every day.
Yes, sir. Well, right now, 4 or 5 days a week.
All right. And
so they pick up.
And you still have you've got a new dead rise?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I worked out of a 25-foot bunker for 23 years. Now I'm finally in a big boat.
When you were charged for the 15 on buoys that had not cleared the Maryland number, you did not appear in court?
No, I was guilty of that. The old numbers were the ones where I purchased from the other crabber. The buoys were still on the last 14 or 15 of those buoys. I wouldn't disrespect a law enforcement officer. He said that's what it was. It was. When I went back out there, they were. So I took my knife and we cut them off the next day. And I still every now and then I'll see like the little sticker from Potomac River Fisheries. I brought it to Mr. Alston's attention. I said, hey, I found some with my 2010 sticker on the pipe from the Potomac River. So I took and scraped that decal off as well. It's like a
2010?
Yeah, it was a 2000 sticker. I saw one on a couple. I'm not gonna lie to you, I mean, I need to tell you the truth. I cut them off. Oh. They're about as wide as your finger, I guess.
Yeah.
Just not. Might not. One of them didn't see the number on it, but it just said PRFC, and I didn't want any to see it on there at all.
So you are an active waterman that you've done this for over 20 years.
Yes, sir.
You know the severity of what these women and men can do today. All right. Is there anything else you need to tell the commissioners before we close?
Yes. this is from myself, my heart to all y'all commissioners and for other watermen as well. It's hard to keep your pots 100% always up to par because you're going through your rig, they start getting dilapidated, start deteriorating on you. You might say, hey, I want to get two more fishings out of this pot before I take it home. The call rings. They do. The wire rusts on them, and the pots do fall to pieces on them. You take them home, and you get enough money to try to replace your rig. I just continue to do the best that I can. All other waters do the best they can to keep their rigs up to par as best that we can do. I try to do it at 100%.
Counselor, anything else?
I have no further questions.
Are there questions from the commission, Mr. Zedrin? Judge Zedrin.
You said something to the effect that you burned your number into the buoy.
Yes.
And were these other North Carolina and Maryland numbers, were they also burned into?
Yes, sir. Very deep. Maybe the officers that are inspecting pots here recently. I've had to almost cut my buoy completely in half. They was burned so deep, like 2 inches, 3 inches down into the buoy.
Okay.
And these buoys $5 a piece now.
And I'm going to ask you this question because I don't know the answer to it. But is it in a violation of the law to have other people's numbers on that buoy with yours?
Yeah, I wasn't really clear from North Carolina or way up the Upper Bay in Maryland. I wasn't really. I thought maybe Potomac. I wasn't really 100% sure of that.
Mr. Decatur,
yes, sir.
You've been a waterman and a crabber for 20 years, and you're telling me you don't know what the marking requirements are in your buoy, which has been in effect for 20 years,
yes,
more than that?
Yes, sir, I do know the requirements, but I didn't know that maybe from North Carolina, I've never You know, I've crabbed just about my whole life from Quantico, Virginia to Potomac Creek.
And we're talking about Virginia, though. I'm saying in Virginia, yeah. Is it a violation of the rules to have not only your number but other crabbers' numbers on that buoy?
Yes.
It is. Okay, thanks.
Other questions from the commission? Stephanie, what do the matrix guidelines call for in this case? I believe there's been three convictions within the span of 7 months, 8 months, somewhere around that neck of the woods. Mr. Nykirk, you've been promoted to IT?
I guess.
Get your password wrong.
Okay. All right. So the 1996 law enforcement report established the three-peat rule, whereby an individual convicted of three natural resource violations within a 12-month period would require that the individual to appear before the commission with a staff recommendation of 1 year's probation. The guidelines set forth by the Law Enforcement Subcommittee report adopted August 27, 2013, stated that the remaining violations, which are not listed in Tables 4 through 8, will be treated as a Category 3 violation requiring a harvester to appear before the commission after the three court adjudicated convictions, which is what brought Mr. Jerry Decatur here. The commission's guidelines for sanction specify that after three court adjudicated convictions of Category 3 violations which are not listed in Tables 4 through 8 require a harvester to appear before the commission in accordance with Section 28.2232 of the Code of Virginia. The matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Decatur on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, June 27, 2017 through June 26, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Decatur's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the Marine Resources of Commonwealth during the one-year probation would result in Mr. Decatur appearing before the commission for a possible hearing on license revocation.
So that's where we're at. The matrix of guidelines suggest a year probation for these three offenses in their aggregate. Counselor, you have something to add?
Yes, I do. First of all, the category of what he was found guilty of are Category 3. In your guidelines, 4 through 8 are the serious crimes, a more serious action, harvesting unculled crabs and things. You're talking about putting a person on probation for having two bad coal rings out of 50. I used to be a CPA. The room of error, I realize, is small. It's but here, it's less than 5%. And I ask you to take that into consideration. He has not endangered any of the species. He is not over-harvested. He has not affected the crab industry in any way. These are dealing with not having his buoy satisfactory. They were marked with his number, 4220. And if you put somebody under probation, you're putting somebody who has to risk every day that officer coming out and possibly taking his license. You're putting somebody who has to think about it all the time. Yes, he's got to comply with the rules. And by the way, bring it back tomorrow for this, if you wanted to. That's the fallacy of the regs. But I ask that he not be put on probation. The seriousness of which you all have discussed today in other matters far supersedes. He's paid his price. He's paid his court costs. He's had to pay me. He's had to be here today, and he brought his guy down to listen to this. He knows the seriousness of this. And I just ask that it be dismissed at this time because of the nature of these things. Two coal rings and not scraping off a Maryland number. As I said, they, these women and men, policemen do excellent jobs. I've been around them all the time. But they can pull, they can, just like an NFL referee, they can throw a flag every, on every crapper.
All right, Counselor. Thank you. Let me note, for the record, Mr. Decatur got in a jam here at the end of July of last year. He had marking problems on his buoys. He was issued a summons. He went to court. He went to court and was convicted. And then, what, 6 weeks later, he's got another problem, the same buoys, the same type of problem. Different numbers on them, extra markings on them. He actually had a couple of unobstructed coal rings on it. So it seems to me a prudent person that finds that they have found themselves in a jam with not having their buoys marked correctly, which incidentally is not a new thing. It's a very old thing. Mr. Decatur was well aware of it, and every commercial crabber that's been around for more than a few months knows that they got to mark their coal, their pots, their buoys, and how to mark them. So it happened once. He was convicted for it, and he doesn't fix the problem. And it comes up again here just a few weeks after that, and then he couldn't keep track of the fact that the season closed and where his pots were and where they should be. So we got three things that are all related. And the prudent person that would have solved the problem under the first notification, that didn't happen. That's what I see here, unless I'm missing something.
Mr. Tankard?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you got a warning and you didn't heed it. That's the real problem, as I see it. And now I think that perhaps we'll be more cognizant of the law if we have a probationary period. That's it. And I'll make the motion for probation when it's time.
If there's more discussion from the commission. Mr. France.
Yeah, I can see where this coloring issue can be a problem. As a crabber myself, I've had otters get in pots, turtles get in pots, even stingrays get in pots and can bend all the colorings all over the place. And one out of 50, I can certainly see, he could have been one out of 400, and whatever license he had, it could have been the only one. So I can see that certainly is something that could, you know, could happen.
Other discussion? Commission operates on motion. What's the will of the commission?
I move to approve staff recommendation.
Well, it's not a staff recommendation, Mr. Tankard. It's the matrix guidelines, okay, which dictate or suggest you can deviate right upwards or downwards or dismiss it.
I move for the probationary period.
Of 1 year? Did you
1 year probation, yes, sir. Excuse me.
All right. Motion by Mr. Tankard for a year probation in this case. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there a discussion in the matter? Call the question.
I could just add one thing. If a motion could be made to cut it down to 6 months, I think it would be more appropriate for the severity of what you're looking at. I realize that you're supposed to say that, but I'll put it out there.
The commission, well, this Lusk is new to the commission here, so I'll say this. There's a motion and a second on the table, but before I call the question, a substitute motion can be introduced by anybody. So if somebody has a different path forward, now's the time to make a substitute motion. We have a motion on the table, duly seconded for a year probation in this case. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No by Mr. France. The chair votes aye as well, so the motion passes 7-1. It's a year of probation, Mr. Decatur. Let's get the pots and the buoys absolutely pristine. I know it's a pain, but let's make sure it's right.
I will deal with you every day in my crew.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Counselor, you are very effective, very good at your job. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is Mr. Scott Hanley in the room? Haney or Hanley?
Hanley. This is Mr. Haney is before you for two new convictions. having over the 255 crab pot limit in a tributary, and having over the crab pot limit for which license.
Counselor,
good afternoon
to you. Thank you for your patience. Is your client going to testify today?
He's going to be sworn, but I don't think he'll
testify. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Thank you. Please let the record reflect that he's present and accounted for and has been sworn in. Officer, you've been sworn in as well here. What can you tell us about this matter?
On July 21st, 2016, while on patrol in the 21-foot skiff on the Pyeongtaek River with officers Richley and West, we began to see a number of buoys displaying C0642, which indicates that the gear is crab hot. We started to count the buoys that were fluorescent green and black in color and displayed the identification numbers C0642. We counted the buoys on both sides of the Pyeongtaek River from Deep Point downriver to Gofford Bay. The approximate count was 663 buoys. Crab pot number was called into operations dispatch, and she advised that the gear returned to Scott Hanley. She also advised that Mr. Hanley had a valid license for 256 to 425 crab pots. On July 25th, 2016, officers Richley, Smith, and West launched a 19-foot tidewater at Deep Point. Officers Brown and myself launched a 21-foot Carolina skiff at Deep Point. An officer on each vessel kept a log of the number of buoys checked, verification of the identification numbers, which gear was attached to the buoy, and made sure it was crab hot, the body of water, and an area to log other violations that were located during the commercial gear inspections. Upon physically inspecting the commercial gear, the officers on the 19-foot tidewater pulled and inspected 230 crab pots. Officer Brown and I pulled and inspected 250 crab pots. There are many more buoys that were not checked and verified due to the loss of daylight. Total crab pots that were checked and verified were 480. Mr. Hanley is only licensed for up to 425 crab pots, which places Mr. Hanley in violation of having over the limit crab pots, as well as having over 255 pots in the tributary of Chesapeake Bay. There are also two crab pots that did not have the correct number of call rings. The crab pots that did not have the correct number of call rings were confiscated. The summary of the conviction for having over 255 crab pots in the tributary disposition was on February 27, 2017, in Matthews County District Court. It was a fine of $350 and court cost of $86. The summary of conviction for having over the crab pot limit for which we used licensed disposition was also on February 27, 2017, Matthews County General District Court. It was a fine of $250, court cost of $25.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Zebra.
Did you say the fine was 200? How much did you say the fine was?
For having over the crab pot limit of 425, the fine was $250.
The abstract here that I have dated February 27th, let me see if that's the right charge, have over 255 crab pots. Mine says $350.
Yes, sir. The 255, having over 255 in the tributary was $350.
Okay.
On the page 2. Disposition was set February 27th for have over the crab pot limit for which license. That fine was $250 for the court.
I see that now. Thank you.
And let the record reflect that the defendant had pleaded nolo contendere in both cases.
Correct.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine?
Officer, you said on in your testimony, July 26, 2016, you counted approximately 663 buoys?
Yes, sir, we did.
So that's significantly over the limit?
Yes, sir.
How often do you see that egregious increase in the amount of pots that are being fished?
I have not. I've been here 11 years. I'm not saying that it had not existed, but I have not in my career seen that.
Thank you.
Further question?
Yes, Tackard.
And how did you count these? How are you so precise that it was 663?
We had two other officers on the boat, and one was specifically a note taker. I actually had the original cards that I went along at a slow speed.
Okay.
Verified the buoy number, took note of the color, as well as the markings, which all identified as his number. And the note taker, every time we got to a buoy, he marked it. And then we went to the next one.
So it was a three-man process?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
The first day, the second day was a five-officer process because we had two officers on one boat pulling and counting and identifying, and three officers on the opposite side of the river doing the same thing.
Wow. You're dedicated.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That is wow.
Other questions from the commission? Counselor, you want to ask some questions?
Very briefly.
Please do. Would you do me a favor here and be near the microphone so we can pick up your...
I'll do my introduction. Good afternoon.
Your voice.
My name's Mike Ware. I'm an attorney in York County. appreciate y'all having me here today. And I know y'all have had a long day, so I'm going to keep it brief. You only pulled 480 to bed, correct?
Yes.
You
ran out of luck.
And isn't it true that all of this occurred the same day? The events, these two convictions, arose out of the same transaction one day.
These aren't. The original 663 was on a Thursday, and then the actual pulling and identifying and 480 was on Monday.
Right, but I'm saying all of this was out of one transaction. These weren't where he received one summons, went to court, and then came back. This was all out of the same operative facts. And it's true also that for the 4 BAC 2270-50C having in excess of 425 pots, is also found in the same code section 4 BAC 2880-30 under section C. So the 255 crab limit and the 425 limit, one's contained in A and one's contained in C in that one code section, correct?
Yes.
So the two charges could have been under one singular code section.
No, it's two different subsections.
Okay, under the same code section but two subsections.
I wrote them for over the pot limit for a different code.
No, you
didn't. For a different reason.
That would be all the questions I have for.
Okay.
And if I may proffer, he's been on the water for 35 years. Y'all all have the package in front of you. I'll also offer, and I've verified this with the officer, that one of the events here which gave concern to me was that he had a violation for undersized crabs.
Yeah.
That code section is not undersized crabs. It was for whelk. And so the 890 is not an 880 category. I think it's a mistype on your incident here. I know from looking at the cases, there's only one major case that was appealed. And from looking at your parameters of what you're looking at from the matrix, and I'm looking at the 2015 matrix, of play, set, fish, crab, exceeding license limit by 50%. And in this particular case, the convictions are looking for two in a 24-month time period. And I think what's the real posture of what the board is looking for is, do we have somebody that's not paying attention, somebody that's not learning their lesson? If you look at his record, he hasn't had anything in the 2005 was a wire and pole that he didn't get out of the water in time, their class three misdemeanors, and the possession of, they were whelk. And then we got this one crab violation that arises out of the exact same day. Could have been charged under the same section. I'll submit it to y'all if you want. I can read that code section to you. But it's in two sections of the code. You can exceed your limit in 270-50 or 880. I mean, they're both prohibitions. But in this particular case, he's operating on one day, same operative facts. I will indicate to you that he was also using peeler pot and crab pot buoys inappropriately. So that's why we have a no-load contendere when we went to court. We addressed it. We accepted the responsibility. There also is confusion if you look at the code about where the 255 limit is in the tributaries and what's the mainstream of the bay. And so we have operational problems with actually understanding some of these regulations. I also have sometimes problems understanding these regulations, as do the officers when I speak with them many a time. But what I'm asking you to do today is, he's here, he's got one really operative event. If you look at your matrix, y'all are looking for two convictions. I would suggest that these two convictions were under one operative facts. And also, the testimony by the officer and the evidence does not show he exceeded the crab limit by 50%. So I think he's probably entitled to don't do this again as opposed to a probationary period. It's all within your pleasure. He's not saying anything here today because we've addressed the issues in the General District Court in this particular matter. I've spoken to the officer, and I don't believe she'll indicate that he was ever a problem or anything other than courteous to you, correct? So we're here today to present our argument to the commission about the technical aspects, because these guys are trying to rely on your matrix. I try to advise them on the matrix, and when you basically are looking at, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to prevent you from doing something. Everybody's going to make a mistake. Everybody's going to screw up. Sometimes it may be out of ignorance. Sometimes it may be out of intent. We'll give you two bites at the apple within a two-year period, and then we're going to bring you in here. I'm going to argue to you all that this is one bite at the apple, and I'm asking you to consider it in that light. Other than that, we don't have any excuses.
Judge Seathorn.
Were some of these pots peeler pots and some of them regular pots?
Or yes.
And if there, is there a separate regulation? I mean, when it says for, where is that thing? Say from somewhere I saw, okay, he can have between 256 to 425 crab pots. Does that mean total crab pots? Does that mean peelers and hard crabs? Or is that just for hard crabs? Or what's your understanding
that's,
of that?
That's just crab pots, hard
crabs.
That's
just crab pots.
That's not peeler pots. That's a separate license, and that's a separate limit.
Right. Correct.
On these 663 buoys, were some of those peeler pots?
My understanding they were, but the distinction between a peeler pot and a crab pot is pretty insignificant in some regards. I mean, I can get the officer to tell you that, you know, it's...
We can get Mr. France to tell us. I see his hands up there, and he's a commercial crabber.
Question for the officer. It appears to me in the report that I'm looking at, one boat checked 250 crab pots,
yes,
and you checked...
One was 230.
One was 230, one was 250.
Yes.
Were any of those peeler pots?
Yes, sir. I also spoke with Mr. Haley the day after we pulled and verified. I spoke with Mr. Haley on the phone in reference to his gear the day after we pulled all the pots and verified the pots. And he did state to me, I asked him specifically, as well as when I saw him in person, if what was attached to his buoys that were marked with a C. And he stated to me, both on the phone and in person, that if they're marked with a C, they had a crab pot at the end of
it. And another quick follow-up question. Did you see any marked with a P?
No, sir, I did not at that time.
Any other questions from the commission, Mr. Tankard?
So let me just make sure on this again. I'm intrigued with the 663 number. So you're not contesting that he's more than 50%?
No, I'm contesting he's greater than 50. He is not greater than 50% because they verified 480. They didn't verify 663. They rode down the river and claimed that there was 663. When they went back and actually pulled pots, they only pulled the 480.
Yeah, but, and now, excuse me then, now did you testify you ran out of light to get to anything more?
Yes, sir. We ran out of light and manpower. Mainly light, actually. We were pulling right as we had no light. We had a flashlight.
Right, and so...
We verified the last pot, and that was it. Then there were still a lot of buoys left to pull.
And you don't think you were pulling a different line, a different setup, nothing?
We made sure that the numbers were the same numbers that we were looking at. It was in the same string as well.
And so, and one more thing you mentioned, you'd say you've never seen someone so far over their pot limit.
Not.
Is that correct in your history with the commission?
I have not.
How long have you been with the commission?
Over 11 years.
Uh-huh.
Other questions from the commission? Anybody from this side?
if I may, one comment to
sure.
address yours. The problem we have with the 663 is he was charged based upon the investigation of actually what was pulled, and that's what would be the testimony in the criminal convictions, not the 663. Because that may have been a collection of what they saw, but what they verified. So that's what the charges were before the court.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that the account was wrong. I'm just saying what we're here for today was based upon that evidence, not the evidence.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I have nothing further for the commission. I don't understand that.
All right. The counsel, let me run this by you here.
Yes, sir.
So they're out there. The Murray police are out there, as they always are, and they start counting these buoys because, you know, there are people that set more buoys than they're allowed to, set more crab pots than they're allowed to. And they get the 663 with his number on it. They didn't pull them. They came back to pull them. So 480 before they ran out of light that they pulled with his number had actual crab pots to it. Now, I would think a reasonable person would say, didn't find anything else in the bottom of those buoys except for crab pots 480 times, and there's 663 they counted the day before that his number on them. Ipso facto, presto, you would think there'd be 663 pots set there, but they only could prove 480, and yet you're arguing because they ran out of light, we should take it lighter on them?
No, I'm arguing that what the convictions are were based on one operative day. That's
okay.
My main argument.
All right, out of here. Okay, I got you.
And that charge is contained in the same paragraph for both incidents. So we have that they charged in their two sections. But technically, both of those could have been contained under one charge. And when you get back to your matrix of two charges involving that in a 24-month
okay,
period.
I got it.
The spirit is not there.
I completely get it.
That is it. I'm not making any, like I said, I'm not making any excuses for the situation.
No lawyer tricks, right?
No lawyer tricks. The good thing I could say is he couldn't fish 663 pots and pull them every day because two boats couldn't do 480 in a day.
Yeah, well, we know what happens out there is they only fish half of them and leave the other half for the next day, so they get unfair competitive advantage and they get an extra day of soak time. This is kind of, sadly enough, too routine out there for my liking. But that's a different issue than the matter at hand.
That's true. And my argument is strictly from the legal standpoint.
Yep.
What the matrix published and what we have here, I'm arguing that it's one operative and actually could be under one statute altogether.
Mike, you're a very good attorney.
Thank you, sir.
Stephanie, what are the matrix guidelines call for in this case?
From their standpoint.
Yep. For the record.
The Commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that two convictions of placing, setting, fishing, crab pots exceeding the harvester's license limit by 50% within a 24-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. In accordance with Section 28.2232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the Commission to place Mr. Hanley on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this Commission meeting, June 27, 2017, through June 26, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Hanley's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the one-year probation would result in Mr. Hanley appearing before the Commission for hearings on license revocation.
Matters before the Commission for discussion and action, and I see Mr. Francis Hanley.
Yeah. You know, if I go to court and I'm going 10 miles over the speed limit, it's one thing. If I'm going 100 miles over, it's a different. And you know, because these matrix here we have to go by, I guess, you know, I'm going to make a motion to accept the one-year probation.
Second.
So motion by Mr. France, second by Mr. Minor here for year probation in this case. Mr. France, the matrix guidelines are guidelines. You can deviate from them in any way that you feel is fitting. So you're not beholden to them.
Well, I'm going to stick with the 1 year. I mean, he's been pretty clean since 2010, 7 years. So
it's a motion by Mr. France and a second by Mr. Minor for your probation in this case here. Discussion on the matter. Couple things I want to say. Officers, you guys did great work here. This is a laborious and very strenuous and at times smelly activity. These are hard cases to make. and I am very thankful for the work that you've done and you continue to do out there. It's regrettable and lamentable that there are more than a few people here that don't abide by the pot limits that they have, and they do that for competitive advantage, and it's not fair to the other watermen. And what they're missing, to some regards from my perspective, is that the daily bushel is a daily bushel limit here, and you set your pots out, you're going to lose them because you do naturally, and it's a risk that you shouldn't take, both from an economic standpoint and from an environmental standpoint and from the stock abundance. So Marie Police did a great job in this case. Mr. Erskine had his hand up.
I was wondering, Ms. Iverson, if you can go back one slide. I think you had the matrix guidelines. Right there.
Nope.
Yeah, I'll
different case.
That one. But it's a different case, so it's not the same. I'll go back to his. No, I'll go back to his in particular.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Further discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. It's a year of probation. Counselor, you did a great job. Mr. Hanley, count them right, please. We really don't want to see you back here, and certainly not on this again. If you go with the officers, give you a letter that spells out your appeal rights. Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much.
The next case is Mr. Antonio.
Is Mr. Antonio Hill present?
Of removal of shellfish, oysters from polluted grounds.
Officer, please step forward. You've been sworn in, I believe.
Yes, sir.
What can you tell us about this matter?
Could you say your name, please?
Officer okay. Kenneth Davenport.
Thank you.
January 30th, I was on patrol in the Pagan River. We've received complaints that people were removing oysters from this edge of the Pagan River, which is a condemned area. Chief Bovin himself directed placements of signs showing no shellfish removal from the area. In and around the kayak launch near, what's the name of that park?
Windsor Castle.
Thank you. Windsor Castle Park. Myself and Officer Post were patrolling the Pagan River in a 25-foot safe boat. We were north of the Smithfield Station Bridge, which is Highway 10. I observed Mr. Hill over here to my right with binoculars placing oysters into a blue Lowe's bucket. We kept proceeding towards his location. He noticed our marked patrol vessel. He quit harvesting, and he left the river and started heading back towards his vehicle. Officer Poach pulled along the kayak launch. I disembarked from the safe boat and made my way up to the parking lot, stopping him next to his vehicle. I found three oysters in his bucket. I instructed him to return them back to the river. I showed him the signs that were on the side of the river, which he said he did not see. Issued him one summons for removal of the oysters. Court case was continued till May 4th. He was found guilty. Fine $100, which was suspended for 12 months, and the cost of court was $86.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Packard?
Was he in a kayak?
No, sir. He was in a vehicle. There's a park right there in Windsor Castle, and you can come down and park your vehicles, and there's a walking trail that goes along the edge of the Pagan River and up into Windsor Castle Park.
Okay.
Mr. France?
Is the condemned sign clearly visible?
Yes, sir. I got pictures.
Okay. Give us 1 minute, Mr. Hill, and I'll get right to you here. Yeah, this is part of the package. You have these?
Yeah, we have these.
Are there other questions of the officer?
Yes.
The initial sign is, the initial one you see there was actually the sign when you come off the parking lot area down into the path right next to. That actually leads out into the kayak launch. And then as you go down, Officer Chief Bowman actually instructed us, this is where I want signs, facing the river, facing this way.
He's like that.
He's like that.
Mr. Erskine.
Was Mr. Hill alone, or was somebody else with him?
He was not alone. He was a passenger in the vehicle.
So he was walking the shoreline as which?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of the officer? Okay, Mr. Hill. Yes. Oh, no, wait. Mr. Minor has a question.
Yes, when were these photos taken?
That was taken that day.
That day? So yes, there was nothing blocking it?
No. Okay. The first sign, as you walk by, there is trees or bushes on the edge of the bank. As you go by a little bit further, if you actually look back, you can see them clearly. And from where he was, you can see the sign back to the right. It's probably 200 feet away from it.
Any other questions? Mr. Hill, please step forward here. Let me swear you in here. Will you please raise your right hand? Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Antonio Hill.
Mr. Hill, what happened?
The morning that the officer saw me, yes, I was gathering oysters. Like he said, I had three. But the sign, it wasn't a sign nowhere. And the friend of his, once we got on the kayak, you could see a sign, but a tree had fell, and you couldn't see it because me and him walked back along the trail, and from the trail, you could not see the sign. I'm not calling him a lie, but he's not giving you the facts. It was one, but it was obstructed by a fallen tree. The sign was there, but you couldn't see it from the trail, and you couldn't see it from the point where I was at picking up oysters.
We have lots of questions here. Let's start with Mr. France. We'll work
yes,
our way
up. Mr. Hill, have you ever been to this park before?
I have been fishing down there, yes.
Uh-huh. And
yes, because it's a little small pier, probably 100 yards from where I was picking the oysters up from. When I was there that day, it was nothing on that pier, but nothing at the kayak. It was just the one sign setting out about maybe 12, 15 foot off of the edge of the marsh. And it, like I say, it was, I don't know whether it was an oak tree, gum tree, but the tree had fell and it was blocking, obstructing the view of the sign.
Mr. Neal.
What were you going to do with the oysters?
I was going to eat them.
Okay.
I mean, you can't do too much with them. I don't eat them raw. I was going to just fry them into a batter and eat them.
Yeah, you weren't going to sell them?
No.
And you weren't getting them, give them to anybody else? You were going to eat them personally?
I was going to eat the oysters for myself.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Hill, do you know what the sign means?
Yes, I know what the sign means now because I went back and did a little bit of study on it.
But I mean, on this day, January 30th,
no.
Did you know what the sign?
After he explained to me, yes.
Okay.
Because like I said, you couldn't see the sign because the tree had blocked. But I did go back and do a little extensive study on shellfish, not only the oysters, but the crabs as well.
As a follow-up question, you have no commercial licenses?
No, I'm just a resident.
Just a resident. Okay, thank you.
Have you ever been a commercial waterman?
No, sir.
Okay. What do you do for a living, if I may ask?
Work for Smithfield Foods.
Okay. Mr. Zedra.
Follow-up on Mr. Francis' question here. How long have you been, a resident of this area?
I moved to Smithfield, and I'm originally from Surrey County. So the area, I know the water pretty good.
You know the water pretty well. And isn't it true that you have been to that park several times before this date?
Yes, I have.
And on those occasions, did you pick up oysters?
No.
Don't
get me wrong. The pier and where I was at getting the oysters from is probably 150 yards apart. So when you go on the little pier, you can't even tell unless you come down the little trail. And if you walk along the trail, you can see where the water recedes when the tide go out. And you can see the shellfish laying up there. You can see the oysters on the edge of the...
And you picked up oysters there before, is that right?
No, first time out there.
And when you were there fishing, say it in the last 5 years, how many times have you been in the park?
In the last 5 years? Probably 3 times, because we always go on the Pagan River over beside where the plant at, because it's a lot bigger pier, a longer pier.
And on those occasions, you never saw that sign sitting in the water saying no? No,
no, sir, I haven't.
Do you know why the sign's there, Mr. Hill? Do you know why the sign is there?
Yes, after I did some studies, because the chemical that runs off of the field, the crab, the oysters is there to help purify the water, to keep the clean of water, keep the water clean. No.
Close enough. In that particular water body,
yes,
it's a high rate of fecal coliform, and that area is off limits for shellfish collection by order of the Virginia Department of Health, because eating them could get you sick. Yeah, and if somebody's...
2 years ago, that they were putting crab pots out, and then they stopped putting the crab pots out.
Yeah.
But I never really, like anybody, you don't really pay no mind. You just say, well, people just stopped crabbing out there. But honestly, I didn't see the sign.
Right. There's a difference between crabbing and oystering. Crabs aren't susceptible to that type of bacteria because they can move. Oysters can't get up and flee.
Yeah, I know. They just stick to each other and grow like that.
Yes. Other questions from the commission? Stephanie? What do the matrix guidelines call for in this particular case?
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters from a condemned area within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation in accordance with Section 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia. The matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to revoke all Mr. Hill's commission-issued licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, June 27, 2017, and June 26, 2018. The Code of Virginia also allows that the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Hill's licenses during this revocation period. In accordance with Section 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, the commission may revoke Mr. Hill's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of the commission meeting, June 27, 2017 through June 26, 2018.
Mr. Tackett?
Stephanie, yes, when we look at those guidelines, are they set up for commercial watermen? Obviously, he's recreational, so my question is, are we really applying the right matrix?
It's our discretion.
It's really up to you all. It's you know, recreational has the same damage to the public health as well as commercial, except for commercially they can sell their harvest versus recreationally they're probably using it for personal consumption, which also is just as dangerous to someone's health if they're recreationally gathering them. They may feed them to their family.
So the matrix guidelines are guidelines.
Yes.
They're kind of bumper, bumpers,
right,
on the side of bowling alleys to keep us all basically in the lane unless there's a good reason not to. It's entirely up to you to deviate from this one way or another, either largely or smallly. I mean, it's your discretions. Mr. Erskine.
Well, I first want to thank the officer for the due diligence on this, and Mr. Hill for your testimony and your honesty with, with regards to the sign and that you had three oysters. I think this differs from some of the typical cases that we see. I would like to say, however, that it is a very serious issue with condemned and polluted areas harvesting oysters, because as Ms. Iverson indicated, you can get the public sick from harvesting those oysters and putting them into interstate commerce or even giving them to somebody else. So that is serious. In this case, I'd make a motion for a one-year probation.
I'll second it.
And recognize that Mr. Hill doesn't currently have any commercial licenses, so probation from maybe issuing those licenses if he were to be interested in them.
He doesn't have a record.
I'm not sure that's how probation works, but
right.
So that's a motion and a second here for probation in this particular case. of limited effectiveness. But I think it's the point. I think, Mr. Hill, I thank you for your honesty, and I thank you for your candor here. You've done some research. You've heard us. I think you understand that taking oysters from the shoreline here is a very dicey proposition for your own health and for anybody else who might eat them as well. Let's not do that again, all right? Let me make sure the motion passes first, Mr. Hill. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. It's a year of probation. I am pretty confident, Mr. Hill, we're not going to see you back here under these conditions. So, thank you, sir. If you go with the chief, he'll give you a letter that spells out your appeal rights if you think probation was excessively punitive.
The next case is Mr. Tom Wynn.
Mr. Wynn? Mr. Wynn, let me swear you in. I'm pronouncing that correctly. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Thank you. We'll let the record reflect Mr. Wynn is present and sworn in. Ms. Iverson? Yeah.
Mr. Wynn is here for over-the-limit crab and harvest of one bushel and possession of undersized whelk.
Officer? Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Okay, I guess. It's quarter after four. What can you tell us about this case?
Officer R. Griffin, BMRC. On January 30th, change seats here. On June 7th, 2016, Officer York and myself, we were on patrol checking the creel limits of crabbers working off Craney Island. When Officer York checked Mr. Wynn's vessel behind me and to the right here, it was discovered at that time he had a conch on board his vessel. Culling the conch, it was discovered he had 52 undersized whelk in one bushel. He was subsequently issued a summons for that. On July 27, 2016, the case was tried in Portsmouth General District Court. He was found guilty. He was issued a fine of $250. $125 of it was suspended, and court costs were $90 to be paid. On March 10, 2017, Officer Brandon Price, at approximately 1100 hours, Officer Price was in the area of the Newcomb Drive, Sunset Creek, checking crab harvest. Newcomb Drive is a dead-end road that sits on Sunset Creek where several commercial watermen moor their vessels. Upon arriving at this location, Officer Price observed 25 bushels of crabs on the dock, and Mr. Wynn was present with his mate at the location of where the crabs were, 25 bushels. Officer Price asked Mr. Wynn how many bushels he was allowed, and Mr. Wynn stated 21, I think. Officer Price then counted the bushels in front of Mr. Wynn, and there was 25 bushels on the dock. Mr. Wynn stated that four of the bushels belonged to another crabber named Hoon, H-O-O-N. Officer Price asked Mr. Wynn for Hoon's MRC number, or phone number, which Mr. Wynn provided. Officer Price attempted to call Mr. Hoon, but he didn't answer the phone. When Wynn's mate walked back to the dock, Officer Price asked the mate how many bushels of crabs did he and Mr. Wynn catch that day, and the mate stated 23, I think, but I'm not 100% sure. Officer Price then advised Mr. Wynn he was going to seize the crabs, referring to the overage, until Officer Price could get the truth about what is going on. Mr. Wynn was extremely nervous during the entire encounter, and it was obvious Mr. Wynn was not being truthful to Officer Price. Officer Price confronted Mr. Wynn about not being truthful, and Mr. Wynn finally admitted he was over one bushel, and three bushels belonged to Mr. Hoon. Mr. Wynn apologized and stated he was sorry, and even brought up the incident in 2014 where Officer Price had given him a warning for having 11 undersized jimmies in a bushel, and stated Officer Price has always been fair with him. Officer Price had Mr. Wynn return one bushel of crabs to the water. Mr. Wynn was issued a summons for being over the daily limit of commercial crab harvest. As a note, Mr. Hoon finally called Officer Price back approximately an hour later and advised that only two of the bushels on the dock belonged to him, not the four that were initially reported. The case went to trial on May 2nd, 2017 in Hampton General District Court. Mr. Wynn was found guilty. He was fined $500 and ordered to pay court costs of $91.
Questions from the commission? Let me ask a quick question before Mr. Zegron does. The whelk violation, 52 undersized whelk.
Yes, sir.
What's the tolerance?
10.
10, that's what I thought. 10 for bushel. Okay. Questions? Mr. Tankard.
So is it that Mr. Hoon was on the boat with Mr. Wynn, or was he in a separate boat?
That I do not know for you, sir.
So we don't really know if Mr. Hoon really crabbed that day.
Correct. I do not know.
There was no evidence of him other than the supposed two bushels.
Correct. And Officer Price's portion of today's events that I spoke to, he had to prepare because he's in court in Hampton right now. So any of the specific facts to Officer Price's case, I do not know other than what he prepared for me to brief on his behalf.
All right. Any other questions to the officer?
I got one.
Mr. Zegron.
How many bushels was he allowed legally?
21, I believe.
That sounds right.
I believe it was 21.
Well, let me ask you, my understanding of what was said is there was 24 bushels, right?
25 bushels.
25 bushels.
All stacked together.
All right. And so the officer made him throw back one bushel, right?
Yes.
What happened to the other bushels?
The other three, I did not know, Mr. Zeidman. I can guess, but I wasn't there.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Wynn?
Yes, all right. I've asked the commissioner, who is, please give me mercy, and I will never do anything again. I never convict any crap, any regulation again. Give me mercy, please. I will never do it again.
Okay. Any questions from the commission, Mr. Zegron?
My concern here is that did you, in fact, tell the officer that 21 bushels were yours and four belonged to this Mr. Hoon?
Yes, four belonged to him, and he called back and confirmed it too. That's what was his, and I was the only one. He called back and confirmed it to Officer Price.
My understanding is he called back and said two of the bushels were his.
Yeah, the two bushels was his. I was over only one. And I believe there's a little mistake on this trial because that total is not 25.
Okay, that's where I'm going. Okay, the testimony is there's 25 bushels.
Yes,
and you're allowed 21, right?
Yes.
And Hoon said that he was two bushels for him, right? So that left, two more bushels, right? One of which you were over and another bushel, right?
Actually, the whole thing was I got 20. He had two. That's total of over 21, but I don't know why the officer price said 25, and I still take it. Only one bushel was done over. That's it.
All right. So, Mr. Wynn, you admit that you harvested one bushel more than you were allowed to. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Great. And that you had undersized whelk more than you were allowed to. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you're asking us to show mercy because we will never see you back here like this again.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I think I summarized it. Ms. Iverson, what is the matrix guidelines suggest?
The commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of 50% or greater over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation in accordance with Section 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia. The matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Nguyen on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, June 27, 2017 through June 26, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Nguyen's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the one-year probation would result in Mr. Nguyen appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Well, that's where we are. One-year probation is kind of the guidelines for suggestion here. I can tell you my personal point of view is I look at Mr. Nguyen and actually I believe him. I believe him that we're not going to see him. I think that Mr. Nguyen is going to do everything correctly from here on in, not make a single mistake. We haven't seen a crab violation or a conviction in almost a decade before this. So, you know, I would be open to a term of probation of 6 months, which would be just for the rest of this crab season. And expect Mr. Nguyen to have everything absolutely correct, and we don't see him again.
I'll move for a 6 month probation.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Tanker for a 6 month probationary period. Second by Mr. Miner. Is there a discussion?
Yeah, we had a perfect record of 1 year probations today.
Foiled again.
Yes.
Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. 6 months of probation, Mr. Nguyen. 6 months. You can do this. Thank you, sir.